Good evening and welcome to Debate for the State for 2010. Alaskans go to the polls on Tuesday, and this is the last time the congressional candidates will face each other on statewide TV and radio. I'm Libby Casey. We're coming to you live from KAKM Public Television in Anchorage, but tonight's program is a joint production of the Alaska Public Broadcasting Stations. Joining us tonight are candidates for Alaska's only seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. Candidates who registered at least 5% in political polls were invited to attend. Don Young is the Republican incumbent. He's held the seat since 1973, for 37 years, and he's seeking his 19th term in the U.S. House. Harry Crawford, the Democrat, is a member of the Alaska House of Representatives, where he's represented Anchorage for the past 10 years. Joining me on tonight's panel is Lori Townsend of the Alaska Public Radio Network and Dermot Cole, columnist at the Fairbanks Daily Newsminer. We've also solicited questions from our viewers and listeners, and we'll include some of them in this evening's broadcast. Our thanks to the studio audience for being here tonight. Please remember to remain silent during the entire broadcast. Candidates, during the debate, your answers will be timed. You'll see a yellow light when there are 15 seconds left, and then hear this bell when your time is up. I will try to enforce this as politely as possible so we can keep the program moving. Now, let's begin. Our first question comes from Dermot Cole, and you have 1 minute to respond.
Representative Young, we'll start with you. Only 12% of Americans think Congress has done a good job recently, and 62% of Americans say all of Congress should be replaced. That's according to a poll just released today. What I'd like you to do is to explain to us why you should be reelected given those numbers.
I think I'm one of the good ones. All candidates think that the same way. I've done the job, I've always done the job, and you have reelected me. I believe this is my 24th election, so I'm doing something right. I'm responding to Alaskans. We are spokesmen for the people of Alaska. And consequently, I do believe that I will be reelected because I will speak for Alaska strong and clear. And they understand that. This has never been about Don Young. This has been about, very frankly, the job and who can best do the job. So I'll continue to do that. I'm excited about this race. It's been fun. I have tried very hard to keep it positive. I've done so, and people recognize that.
Well, Representative Crawford, turning to you, what would you do to actually, if you get to Washington, D.C., how would you deal with this situation where the public shows a lot of dissatisfaction with Congress?
Well, there's a reason for that. People are angry. People are scared. They're scared about the future. This is the worst recession that we've had since the Great Depression of the 1930s. There are 20 million people that are either unemployed or underemployed in this country. We've got to do something differently. And, I think it is time to replace some of the people in Congress and do something very, very differently. We've got to bring our manufacturing back to our shores. And we've got to stop giving tax breaks to companies that move our manufacturing overseas or out of our borders. And we've got to put our people back to work.
A quick follow-up, maybe to add, a 15-second follow-up for both of you, maybe starting with Representative Young. Are those numbers fair? Does Congress deserve these low approval rates?
Absolutely. Under this administration and this leadership of Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat Party, absolutely.
But this is where the years represented.
No, this is, you watch the records now, they dropped dramatically in the last 2 years. That's when it really dropped. The overgoverning by the agencies is what's caused this problem.
Representative Crawford?
You know, this is the hangover that we're experiencing for the 8 years of the Bush administration. The economy tanked before the Obama administration came in. We're just trying to find our way back out of it.
Thank you.
Lori, next question.
This question comes to us from Sue Sprinkle of Fairbanks, and it's for Congressman Young. She points out that you've spent more than $1 million on attorneys who've helped you fend off Justice Department investigations. Those are over now, so Ms. Sprinkle wants to know what you are defending yourself against. She says it's important for her to know before Alaskans decide whether to send you back to Washington.
I'm defending myself against the United States government. They overreached and we're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. They have dropped that investigation. I am innocent, as I said when I started. To have this type question, they don't understand the principle of justice. And where it happened to the idea that you are innocent until proven guilty. And for some reason, everybody thinks I should explain. Ask them. Let them explain, not myself.
Are you free to talk about the
investigation? No, I am not. I've never commented on it. That is something I will not comment on. They can comment if they wish to do so.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Crawford, you have been so focused on criticizing Mr. Young, have you failed to focus on your own platform? Have you shown voters who Harry Crawford really is?
I certainly hope that I have. I have a 10-year record in the legislature, and during that time, I focused on many constituent issues that people brought to me. One of my areas of interest was renewable energy and energy for Alaska, and to get a gas pipeline. It's so integral to our future. We can't have the kind of Alaska we have today without getting our natural gas to market. And that's one of the things that I'll be focusing on when I go to Washington, D.C., is to make that a national priority for the administration.
Thank you.
Representative Crawford, back in June when Congressman Young said the BP blowout, the oil spill in the Gulf, was not an environmental disaster, you really took issue with that and argued that it was. Given what we know now, do you still feel that way?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm originally from Louisiana. I have cousins down there that live there, work there, and they're in a terrible bind. I mean, the whole state was just really recovering from Katrina and Rita, and just beginning to come out of that, and this really set them back. Unemployment in Louisiana is worse now than before, and it was bad then. It was, you know, the oil is in the marshes. It's killing those marshes. What happens then is the plant life dies and the marsh washes away because the salt water comes in. And, you know, it's the breadbasket of the whole Gulf. That's where everything is birthed. The fish and shell like.
We'll leave it there. Congressman Young, do you still stand by that statement?
I said it was not a disaster, it was a tragedy, and I'd like to somebody look up the definition of tragedy and disaster. There's not a whole lot of difference. And I really rely on the congressman down there. The unemployment is caused by the moratorium, the shutting down of all the plants, the shutting down of the drilling rigs, the 29,000 jobs were lost, high-paying jobs in that area. That's what's killed that area. And everybody knows it down there. All those congressmen down there told me the same thing. For goodness sakes, let us keep drilling. And the Obama administration shut it down. And I think that was a terrible disaster. That was the disaster, the unemployment.
Dermot.
Let's go overseas for a bit on one of the pressing issues facing the nation today. Private contractors now make up more than 50% of the Department of Defense presence in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, part of that private contracting force is the security contractors, and they are expected to grow as the number of American forces declines in that region. Is this a problem for the United States? We'll start with you, Representative Young.
Well, that's one of the reasons I'm concerned about Afghanistan. That is a war that we cannot win. Alexander the Great tried it. The British tried it. The Russians tried it for 10 years. We're trying it. You cannot win that war. And we're trying to replace troops with private contractors and we're financing it. I don't approve of that. Either we fish or cut bait. And I don't think we succeed with private contractors. If we can't succeed with our military, then we're doing something wrong. I'm looking at this very closely, and when it comes up for refunding, I'm going to look at it real closely, because there's no way we, under the present rules, we can ever win that war, as I said before. And so go back through history, look at the terrain, the topography, the people, the tribalism, the things that have occurred over in the past. It cannot be won, and I'll stand by that.
All right, thank you. Representative Crawford.
Thank you. You know, America has an advantage in war, and that's our technology. We can strike from the air. We don't have to commit ground troops. I would only commit ground troops when there's a clear and present danger to America. We can't go be the world's policeman. We can't put our people into hostile areas again and again. We're risking not only the lives of our people, and now these contractors, which are much, much more expensive than our troops, we're risking our treasure as well.
So, do you agree with Representative Young that this is not winnable, the war in Afghanistan?
I don't believe it is. But, you know, when we need to project power, we can do it from the air. We can do it with drones. We can do it where we take advantage of our technology. But only when there's a clear and present danger to America should we commit our troops.
Okay, as a quick follow-up to this, I could respond in maybe 30 seconds. If you can outline for us, starting with you, Congressman Young, what are our next steps in that region? What do we do next? You say the war is unwinnable. What's coming down the road?
The big danger is Pakistan. How do we make sure that they're an ally? If we can, they're a nuclear nation. India is a nuclear nation. That is a very hot area between the two. That's going to be our big challenge. Can we keep Pakistan? How do we keep Pakistan on our side? They're already negotiating with the Taliban. That's going to be the biggest challenge we have, because if they go the other way and Taliban gets involved with Pakistan, they have nuclear capability. We must make sure that does not occur.
All right, thank you. Representative Crawford.
We've got big problems in the Mideast. It's not just Pakistan. It's not just Iran. It's a hot spot, and you know, it's a very intractable problem. What our biggest problem is, though, is that we depend on the Mideast for oil. We have to develop our own resources and get that, I mean, not be dependent on energy from the Mideast. That's the elephant in the room.
Representative Crawford, you know, along these lines, with the deficit, you know, so high right now, what do you see our role in humanitarian missions? The United States is often looked to not just as a peacekeeper or a country with weapons, but as someone who can come in and help in places like Haiti. What should our role be?
One of the proudest moments, times of my life is when I had a number of friends that went off to the Peace Corps back in the late 60s, early 70s. That's when America was projecting what we really need to project. We want to be a positive force in the world.
But can we afford to be financially?
Absolutely. The way to get rid of the deficit is to put our people back to work. We have a blueprint in front of us. In the 90s, we put 20 million people to work. The deficit melted away, and we had a surplus for a number of years there until the 2000s when George W. took over.
Congressman Young, are we stretched too thin in humanitarian missions overseas?
We're stretched too thin, and thank God for George Bush. You know, he got blamed for the hurricane and the Indonesia earthquake and everything else, and we're still blaming him. This is 2 years later. We are stretched thin, and else we get, in fact, a administration that tries to promote business in this country, we'll never get back on the road of recovery. We're borrowing money. We're $13 trillion, probably more than that in debt, borrowing money. And we can't do that. This nation was built on resources. And you can't have administrations against development of our resources. This is not the way to do it. Resources will solve our financial problems in this country on our shores with our oil. That's what has to happen.
Now let's go to a lightning round where you'll have 15 seconds to respond. And our first question comes from Lori.
David Lewis of Ketchumek Bay asks if you support a national war tax that everyone would pay when the nation goes to war. Representative Crawford.
I think that we ought to pay for our wars when they're happening. I don't agree with borrowing against our children's future to pay for a war today.
So a war tax would be all right?
Yeah.
Congressman Young?
We did it in World War II. That made us, everybody was involved. We're not involved now. We weren't involved. That was Lyndon B. Johnson, gun, breads, and butter. That's what caused this problem. We should participate if we go to war. That makes them question the president if he does something or if the Congress was to declare war.
Follow up related to that, should we reinstitute the draft to get more people invested in the wars we're facing? Congressman Young?
Well, you know, I supported the draft. I was drafted. That was before Harry's time. I was drafted during the Korean area time, and 90% of the troops in my company were draftees, and 10% were professionals. I think it makes an army of the people. Would that pass? It would not.
Representative Crawford.
I think it should be reinstated. That way you don't have just the people that absolutely have to have a job, that this is the only way that they have a future. They go in the military today. What we need is a broad cross-section of Americans.
Dermot.
Well, let's change the subject just a little bit here.
Is it still 15 seconds?
Yes.
Okay. And I think you can answer this one in 15 seconds. Now, I've been told, Congressman Young, that in Washington, D.C., you always carry a knife. Is that true, and why?
It's habit, and it is true, and it's a big one.
You don't have it on you tonight, do you?
No.
I was hoping you would put it out on the table.
Don't ask what else I have on me.
All right. Representative Crawford.
Yes.
You have been an iron worker about as long as Congressman Young has been our representative in Washington, D.C. I'm kind of wondering, what insights did you gain from those years in that trade that have really prepared you for national politics?
It's about life. And, you know, people ask me why I want to take on this challenge, why I want to climb the mountain of taking on Don Young. Well, I tell you, he's no scarier than a 60-foot column that doesn't have any handholds on it.
Do you support a subsistence priority for Alaska Natives who move to cities, Congressman Young?
No.
Why not?
Because if they want to live in the bush, they should live in the bush. And I know this is contrary to a lot of my Alaska Natives, but I set that subsistence up for rural residents, not for those that live in an area and in fact make great deals of money and could go out in the bush. They should have someone else help them get their game if they want to do so.
Congressman.
Another area of agreement.
Representative Crawford, do you support a subsistence priority for Alaska Natives who move into urban
areas?
No,
I do not.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, I believe that a subsistence priority ought to be for the people that live in an area and have no other way of subsisting. I believe it's for rural people, and we have car stores here.
As a follow-up, should there be an income requirement, anything along those lines, Congressman Young?
No, I believe it's where the residents are, where you are. It was set up for rural, and that's how it should be. They don't agree with me on this. It's one time we do disagree. I am hoping people understand we do not have the game that people think we have. And they can't stand that pressure either on a subsistence level to take away from those that live in the rural area.
And Representative Crawford.
I thought I was clear to begin with. It's a rural subsistence priority.
So income shouldn't matter?
No.
Thank you.
The leader of the U.S. House of Representative Republicans, John Boehner, has called for the defunding of public broadcasting. He actually said NPR, but I think he intended public broadcasting. Would you support that, Representative Crawford?
No.
Should the federal government have a role in funding public broadcasting?
I always support it. I'm deeply disappointed with your boss. I think she should be fired.
That's actually my boss right over there.
Well, if you said it, if you fired Juan Williams, you should fire that person that was the boss. That was the wrong thing to do. Well, you follow what I'm saying.
You're referring to the CEO of NPR, Vivian Schiller.
I think, very frankly, you do a great service to the state, and to have that occur and squelch freedom of speech of an individual person, that's wrong.
Let's get a response. Actually, Representative Crawford, was that a squelching of the freedom of speech?
I didn't like it. I think that Juan Williams has the ability to say what he wants to say on his own time. Now, it does complicate the matter that he was on TV when he was saying it.
Okay.
Thank you. Congressman Young, should we extend the Bush-era tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, meaning those who are making more than $200,000?
I support that. Harry doesn't, and I know that. But I think when you tax people, you take money out of the capital arena to create jobs, and we're talking about creating jobs. I did support them when they came before. I voted for them. They do create jobs. That's been proven under even the Kennedy era.
Isn't that, let's just follow this up just a bit, isn't that increasing the deficit?
No. They're in existence right now. There's an additional tax. If I thought for a moment that they wouldn't spend the money, it might be different. They'll spend every nickel.
Why weren't the tax cuts made permanent?
Well, ask them. I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay.
You know?
Representative Crawford, what do you think about
the tax cuts? He was right. I wouldn't extend the tax cuts. What I would do to get our business cooking again is to give targeted tax cuts for actual performance, for buying new equipment and putting new people to work.
All right, thank you.
Now a chance for the candidates to ask questions of each other. And please keep your questions concise. Your answers can last a minute, and then we'll have a chance for rebuttals of about 30 seconds. First up, Representative Crawford, a question for Congressman Young.
The other day we talked about the national sales tax, H.R. 25. You said you didn't remember it, but I got it from your website and from your the questionnaire we did this time for the Anchorage Daily News. So it's a 23% national sales tax that means a substantial tax increase for 80% of Americans, working Americans, and a big tax break for the richest 20% of Americans. I'd like for you to talk about that.
Thank you, Harry. One thing keep in mind, it was a bill introduced and I was a sponsor of it, was never voted on. And truthfully of the matter, it is a tax that would repeal and extinguish the IRS. It would repeal the gift tax. It would repeal the estate tax. The income tax would be gone. The IRS would be squelched. Now, I'll take that any day of the year because that's a less tax on the people. If anybody's happy with the IRS, I want to see who they are and raise their hands. This is one of the biggest drains on our tax people that have to pay every year. So I was a sponsor. It was never voted on and never came to the floor, but I was a sponsor, and we had a lot of sponsors on that bill. And probably you would have gotten on it, too, if you were on the floor of the House.
Never in a million years.
So you're for the IRS?
No.
30 seconds, Mr. Crawford.
Actually, I'm for fair taxes, and what you're talking about is raising taxes on the huge majority of Americans and then lowering taxes on the richest people, because you're not taxing based on income, you're taxing on consumption, and I think that's just wrong.
It's funny because this is called the Fair Tax Act.
Well, you can call it anything you'd like.
We can talk about the fair tax in a little bit.
He wants fair taxes. This is a fair
tax
act.
For now, let's hear your question for Mr. Crawford.
Oh, I really don't want to ask Harry this, but you keep talking about your 10 years in the legislative body. How many bills did you sponsor in the legislature, and how many became law?
I couldn't even begin to tell you. I'm sure that I sponsored at least 100 bills, and I passed about a dozen different bills, but you know, I always did it with other Republicans, like the bill for the alcohol ID the alcohol ID bill. That was in House Bill 190, an omnibus crime bill, because I wanted to get it past John Cowdery. So we had to couch it in another bill to get it through. All those bills, except for one, always did it with a Republican sponsor to get it through the process, because I was always in the minority. You know how the minority works. You were in there long enough.
30 seconds to respond.
I passed the pipeline, the 200-mile limit. I can go all down the line when I was in the minority. In fact, Harry, you had 112 bills you sponsored and two became law. The reason I bring up, because I am effective. I've been rated as the outstanding congressman, most productive congressman in 2009 and 2010. So that means I'm very efficient.
Let's do a second round. This has been so much fun. Congressman Young, you first this time. Question for Mr. Crawford.
We get two of these?
Yeah, well, just, you know, what are you thinking
you
about? What do you want to ask him?
You
want to
run about things? I don't really want to ask him a whole lot, but go ahead. You're first.
Do you have any question for Mr.
No,
Crawford?
No, right now.
Okay. Representative Crawford, another question for Mr. Young.
Okay, so I can answer him, believe me.
So we have hit upon it a little bit before, but your biggest contributors were Bill Allen, Rick Smith, and then Daniel Aronoff. And by the way, I never have known how to pronounce that. Is it Aronoff or Aronoff?
You find out.
And Jack Abramoff, Dennis Troha, all these folks are in jail, and or have been in jail or convicted. Now, I feel a certain responsibility to the 1,500 Alaskans that have contributed to my campaign. Do you feel some responsibility to these people that have showered you with money?
Well, one thing, Harry, you know, there's been 10,000 Alaskans contribute to me. Keep that in mind, and more Alaskans contribute to me than ever to you. And really, I should tell you off, you keep mentioning the offs. Sternoff, all the rest of them. So, truth of the matter is, this has been a closed book now. I've answered that question to the young lady over here. You keep digging in the dirt. That doesn't have anything to do, and I've told you before, this is about what you're going to do. And I haven't heard it for you ever saying what you're going to do other than I'm going to reach across the aisle. That's what I've been doing with Jim Oberstar and Nikki Jo Rahal, even David Obey. I've done this to get things done for Alaska. That's why I've been rated the most effective congressman. This is the way you do things. You don't do it by keep scratching dirt and trying to figure out really what's happening. I haven't gone back in your background, young man. You keep that in mind.
30 seconds to respond.
This continues on to, through today. And the Chuas family has taken over where the Vico people were before. Now, they've showered you with tens of thousands of dollars, and apparently you had to send back about $16,000 because they overpaid you this last reporting period. What is it that the Chuas family from Louisiana wants, and what do they feel is the quid pro quo for showering you with the tens of thousands of dollars that they've sent?
I'm going to give Congressman Young a chance to respond.
I don't know who the
Chuas
family is.
They're your largest contributors.
Well, who's the Chuas family? There's no Chuas family in my contributor list.
They own.
You might learn how to pronounce a word before you ask the question.
We'll move on. We'll now return to reporter questions. And in this round, you'll have a minute to respond. Lori Townsend will lead us off with the first question.
Congressman Young, you have opposed your party, your own party, on earmarks, arguing they are vital for the future of Alaska. Since your party opposes them, how will you have success in getting them approved by Congress?
Well, you're saying we're going to be in control. I hope we are. And believe me, they will get done. I was very successful this last year because it is the constitutional duty of the congressman to raise and spend money, not the president. The budget the president has done is larded with earmarks. This is the right thing to do. Once the budget is voted on, it's my job to respond to my constituents on what they want. And they come back to me by many, many, many different groups, municipalities, individuals that have organizations, Leave No Child Behind, No Parents, the whole group. They all come back to see me. And I try to answer those requests. And I think I do a very good job of it. I'm sure Harry agrees with earmarks, so I'm going to do it regardless of who's in charge, and we'll get it done. We're going to win this battle because it is constitutional.
As a follow-up, if Democrats stay in control, how effective do you think you'll be able to work then in that setting?
Just as effective I've been this year. Outstanding congressman in 2010. I work with those people, always have, because when I was in the majority, they worked with me. And to have now someone dictate to me, everybody says the leadership did it. The leadership isn't always right. And I think as a congressman from Alaska, you got to stand up and say you're not.
Dermot has
right.
A quick follow-up here.
Question. Who is it that rated you as the most effective congressman?
Gov.com, I've got it right here if you want to see it. I think I do anyway. GovTrack is according to www.govtrackus. Independent, nonpartisan website. Tracks Congress, Alaskan Congressman Young is the most successful congressman in the U.S. House of Representatives, 2009-2010.
I interrupted.
That's
Maria,
all right.
I guess you're asking
okay.
For Representative Crawford.
Yes, Representative Crawford, what's your response to this issue with earmarks?
Well, you know, I'd like to see the full budget process used. I think that's how it works the best. People get to look it over, debate it, and decide. The earmark process circumvents that, but sometimes it's the way it has to work. So I'm not going to completely rule out earmarks. I'm just going to try my best to minimize it in almost every case.
Why do you think they need to be minimized if it's a way of allocating money for projects?
Because these projects need to be vetted by the full committee before they move on.
Certainly, they don't need to be, stuffed at the very, very end. I remember when Congressman Young was doing the transportation bill, he said, "Yeah, I stuffed that sucker like a Christmas turkey," and
Thank you.
Don't think that's right.
Perhaps along the same lines, and maybe you can answer this. You'll get a chance to deal with this topic. Let's go back to 2005.
That's a long ways ago. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's ancient history to some of us, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, did you and the rest, and the Alaska Senate delegation, make a mistake, a critical mistake perhaps, by going for the bridge projects in Ketchikan and in Anchorage? Because they became national symbols of excesses. Now, I those were probably not earmarks necessarily, but they were designated projects, and the publicity continues from those.
You know, I was listening to Harry talk about do it the budget way. This bill that we voted on, the transportation bill, TLU, was voted on four times in the House. Every one of those projects was looked at and voted on. The bridges were not a mistake. They're the right thing to do. They were asked by the communities to have this done, to connect us. There is no such thing as a bridge to nowhere. There is a bridge that goes everywhere. And this should be done and will be done. One in Ketchikan has to be done someday, I hope sooner. The one here in Anchorage has to be done. We're growing and getting more crowded all the time. And I put it out in the open. It was transparent. They were voted four times for that bridge. And John McCain started that out. I never voted for him, by the way. Didn't vote for the other guy either. But the point I'm getting across, he started out as a political rhetoric. We ought to take the money from the bridges of Norway and give it to Katrina victims.
But I guess my question, Representative Young, is these became such a powerful symbol and really continue to be used against Alaska to this day.
Well, hindsight is great. It was the right thing to do. I was chairman. Ted was on the Appropriations Committee. They're needed by the state. It's not a new idea. We'd be neglectful if we hadn't done it.
Okay. Representative Crawford.
I remember the statement, "That's my money," and that...
is for the Alaskans.
No, it's never your money.
No. Okay.
It's...
Go ahead, Representative.
It's Alaskan money, and, I've supported the bridges, maybe not in the style and the expense that they were planned during that 2005 bill. I think we can do it better. I think we can do it cheaper. But the fact of the matter was that Louisiana and the Gulf Coast had just been devastated. We were letting those folks languish down there. They were in a terrible, terrible fix, and it looked like excess that we were spending money on very expensive bridges here. We needed to do something for our PR here, and it wasn't coming from our delegation.
Well, a quick follow-up on that. Bridges, perhaps, Susitna Dam, Road to Nome. How do you feel about getting federal funding for these large infrastructure projects?
If it's possible, I'll do it. I'll be in a better position to do it. I will say I think the Susitna Dam should be built by the state. We've studied it. $480 million have been studied, federal dollars. It should be built for the state, for the good of the state, creating the jobs, creating a big pool of power, and maybe create some manufacturing jobs.
Representative Crawford.
I think that Lake Chacachamna is sized better than Susitna. I think that we can get federal money to help with that. It's renewable energy, and I believe we need to get our state moved on to renewable energy.
Thank you.
To what extent are humans contributing to climate change through fossil fuel emissions? We'll start with Congressman Young.
I don't believe they are. Some people believe it. Scientists say they are. They told us in 1975, but we weren't. In fact, they wanted us to spread coal dust on the Arctic to warm us up. We've had 11 ice ages. We're now having our 12th warming period of time. And have us now being told by a bunch of, I call, elitist scientists, and Al Gore, who is not elitist, and the fact he's not a scientist, that we're going to hell in the basket because we're burning fossil fuel is dead wrong. Check it out. You do a little geology study and you'll find out I'm correct. Can we take and have different forms of energy? Yes. And I support that, as I just mentioned, the dams that should be built in the state. Can we have all the other geothermal, tidal, all the other forms of energy we can produce? That's good for the state and good for the people of the state. But to blame the human being for everything that's wrong and then take credit for everything's wrong, right, that's just dead, not good science.
Quick follow-up. Don't you want your scientists to be elite, well-educated, well-informed, PhDs?
And stupid, no. And a lot of them are stupid. They go where the money is. Check the money trail. You talk about money all the time, Harry. Check where the scientists go. They follow the money trail. They did it in 1975, and they're doing it now. And anybody disputes them, like the University of Alaska, they're not going to get any money.
Representative Crawford.
I listen to some of those same scientists from the University of Alaska, tree ring scientists and all. They say that right now, by all rights, we should be in a cooling trend. You know, if you go back over historic history, I mean, and instead, the world is warming at an alarming rate, and we can't afford to be wrong on this one. Once we get past that tipping point, people are going to die, lots of them, and we've got to be right. The world is changing. In the next 20 years, we're going to have another 2 billion people, and the fossil fuels are going to make the air dirtier yet. Right now, we have problems with people going to the emergency room because of problems with dirty air. So we've got to do something different, and I believe that man is causing pollution and warming as well.
Lori.
What's the future of the Small Business Administration's, we're switching gears again, the Small Business Administration's program that gives Alaska Native corporations an advantage in getting no-bid government contracts? The 8A program is under intense scrutiny in Washington, and one senator, Claire McCaskill, wants to end it. What do you say, Representative Crawford? We'll start with you.
Thank you. I think that the 8A program has been very beneficial. I think we can do it better. The CEOs have come out and said that they have a plan to make it more transparent, and modifying it in other ways to make it a better program. I support the program, will continue to support the program. I hope that we can sit down with Claire McCaskill and explain this to her and get her to see the light and the efficacy of the program.
Congressman Young?
Well, we have one Democrat senator who tried to talk to her and she wouldn't listen. We have one Republican senator, and she wouldn't listen. She has a bee under her bonnet by a staffer who worked for Henry Waxman, who tried to stop this program when they were in the House, and I stopped Henry Waxman. This is a good program. It brings a tremendous amount of money, and I was just 15,000 Alaska Natives are working under this program now. Yes, there's outside people working too, and it's a good buy for the government. It has been investigated by the SBA. It has been investigated by the GAO. It has been investigated by two or three different groups. It does work. It is an example where if they're successful, get rid of it. And I think this is a bad example of the Senate overstepping their bounds. And I can guarantee you when I'm reelected, it's not going to go anywhere in the House.
As just a quick follow-up, are there problems? Claire McCaskill's office says they've got research that says that there's been problems in the program, that there's some level of corruption.
Anytime you have that large of groups, that you will have some form of corruption. Catch them, jail them, correct it, as any other profit-oriented companies do. And that's something that will be checked out. As I say, three investigations. They found two cases where it was actually mismanaged. And now her information comes from a Washington Post article, by the way, who did a terrible job.
We'll leave it there. Our next question comes. Oh, sorry, Laura, did you want to
follow
up?
Did you want to make any comments? Along those lines about investigating corruption within the program, or do you think it's working well?
I think that the CEOs have heard the criticism. They're working on making it a better program. We need to put more Alaskans to work with them and less outside contracting, but
okay,
it's
just one
a good
quick
program.
Follow-up on that. Representative Young, why has this become such an issue in our U.S. Senate race?
Well, I don't know. You have to ask the senators that. You're going to ask them that question. I don't know why it's become such an issue. I know where I stand from. I know I've worked for this program very hard over these years. And so we ask the senators when they come in. I don't know why it's an issue in the Senate race.
Okay. Any response to that?
No.
No. Okay, let's move on a bit. One of our favorite topics in Alaska, seniority. Senator Mark Begich, who has relatively new to Washington, says this about seniority. It gets you a bigger office, a better parking space, better seating when you're in committee, and you might get more people showing up to fundraisers in Washington, D.C. Representative Crawford, is he correct?
You know, my experience has been in Juneau, and it didn't take me long to get to the Finance Committee, to the center of the universe in the legislature there. And I believe that the cream rises to the top, and it doesn't necessarily take all those years of building it up to garner that kind of seniority. So I wouldn't mind being in the Congress, 15, 20, 25 years and being one of those powerful committee chairmen. But I believe that I can do a good job right from the very, very beginning.
Thank you. Congressman Young, what does seniority
do? Question again. Who said that?
Senator Mark Begich.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't know any improved parking spots. I get the same old parking. By the way, I pay for it. I don't get a freebie. I don't get, you move up the chairs, yes, you move up to the top. I start way down here in the corner. I'm up there at the top, yes. But the top is a round circle. So if you're in the top of the round circle, I can see how that can happen. I'm a little disappointed in Mark saying that, very frankly, because he's the first one that's going to say, boy, next, 4 years from now, he'd be running on his 6 years. I'm a senior member, and I remember I got seniority. I could just hear it coming down the pike. That's sort of fun for him to say it right now. I know why he said it, because there's another guy running. Seniority is not important. But the reality is, the fact is, seniority does count. And whether you like it or not, in any society, in your business, anybody says, she's got seniority on you. I can go down the line. So anybody says it doesn't exist, doesn't know what they're talking about.
Well, Congressman Young, you are a senior member among the Republicans in the House, but you actually lost your ranking status on the Natural Resources Committee back in December 2008 after members of your own party, the Republican leadership, had concerns about these Justice Department investigations. So you had to step down. How badly has that set you back?
I did not lose my seniority. Keep that in mind. I lost my ranking membership, but I'd been ranking member for 10 years, the only living congressman that has two full chairmanship and were term limited. And there's a lot of young bucks out there want my spot on the full committee. I did step down voluntarily. We could have fought this out. I did it with my wife by my side for the good of the conference. Now, the cloud has been lifted, regardless of what Harry says, and I will get back a chairmanship. Probably not a full chairmanship, because the young bucks want the full chairmanship. In reality, I've been the only chairman that's been full committees, two times. So I'll probably get a subcommittee out of four choices I have, and I won't divulge to you what they are, but they're pretty choice for the state of Alaska. If we get the majority, I hope we do.
Representative Crawford, you are going in as a Democrat if you go to Washington. Nancy Pelosi is the leader of the House Democrats. Do you feel like you're aligned with her on many issues? Would you be able to work with her effectively?
You know, if you ask the people that I've been serving with in Juneau, I don't do things whether they're maybe because they're a Democratic idea or a Republican idea. I do things because they're a good idea and makes sense for Alaska. And if Nancy Pelosi comes up with an idea that's good for Alaska, I'll be with her. If she comes up with an idea that's bad for Alaska, I won't.
Next question from Dermot.
Well, Congressman Young, let's start with you on this question. You have a flair, you always have had a flair for colorful language, as most people in Alaska know. I'm wondering, do you regret calling Governor Parnell Captain Zero when he was running against you?
No, he was running against me. I don't have any regrets. In this business, remember, I only beat him by 304 votes. If I hadn't called him Captain Zero, he'd probably beat me. He ought to kiss me. He's governor now.
Representative Crawford. Well, you have a flair for colorful language, too, let me start by saying. And I do understand your accent. But there are polls showing that the Republicans may take control of the U.S. House. Again, going back to what you said before, what would that mean to you in Washington if you went in as a minority party member?
you know, the winds of politics change. The pendulum swings. And it may mean that I would be in the minority for a while. It may mean that I start out in the majority. I don't know, and nobody here knows what next Tuesday is going to bring. What I do know is that by building relationships with people, that I can get the job done and be effective in Congress.
Thank you.
Lori has our next question.
And once again, we're switching gears. Access to doctors is becoming a severe problem in Alaska, has been for a while now, especially for senior citizens on Medicare. What needs to happen? What needs to change? And we'll start with Representative Crawford.
I think the most effective health care that we have are our community health centers, our community health center network. We need to expand on that. We need to bring more people in, more health care professionals in, more doctors, and expand on the residency program, expand on the internships. The biggest factor in whether a doctor locates long-term in an area is where he serves his residency. So if we want more doctors here and want more healthcare professionals, let's give them incentives to serve a residency here or pay for their schooling. And a wonderful way to do that is through our community health centers throughout the state.
Can we just follow up on that? I mean, I don't know if we actually heard an answer there about what folks who are on Medicare, who can't get in to see a doctor right now, should do.
Well, the place you can go to see a doctor if you're on Medicare now and you're being shut out of the system is Anchorage Neighborhood Health.
And so where does the money come from to get more of these clinics? Because right now there just aren't enough.
They charge a sliding scale. They're supported by the state and they're supported by the federal government.
I want to come back to another concept there in just a moment, but let's give Congressman Young an opportunity to answer the same question. What needs to change so that we don't have the severe shortage and lack
of
doctors?
We don't have a shortage. We have a shortage of a doctor giving service because they're not being paid.
For Medicare patients.
For Medicare. Now, at Senator Stevens and I had a provision that gave them full payment for the service for 2 years. It was a pilot program. It worked so well that they eliminated it because they couldn't get it to the rest of the states. It should be fully funded in all the rest of the states if we're going to do this. And it's fair, because I don't blame the doctors. I really don't. I think we have 5 doctors in Anchorage that receive Medicare patients. So they have to be funded. If we don't do that, I think we're in a very serious problem down the line. If I could say another thing, we need to get more doctors. We can't get doctors under this new health care bill. I'd like to see a large national whammy type program where doctors that would be agreed to be stationed in another area, that we would take and relieve their debt because they come out with a $500,000 debt, so they come to the big cities. And I think that's a disservice.
Well, just following up on that quickly, Congressman Young, if you put more money in Medicare, that increases the federal deficit. How do you pay for that?
Well, that's a choice. You get rid of the regulations, we could pay for it. We spend $1,100,000,000 a year implementing these regulations that we have now that were never voted on. There's a good way to get the money. $1,100,000,000 a year to implement regulations never voted on by anyone, done by a minion and agency.
You're talking about Medicare or all
no,
federal?
No, I mean, if you want to raise the money, that's the way to raise
okay.
the money.
All right. Representative Crawford.
You know, one of the things that we don't talk about the health care bill is that there was a rider put in to that allows the state to step in and make up the difference between what Medicare pays and what it takes to get doctors to see Medicare patients here in Alaska. That's one way that we can correct this problem.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
I'd like to ask one other question. The immediacy of the problem seems that it's begging for some sort of an answer. I've reported numerous times on seniors who can't find a doctor, especially in Anchorage. It's a very big problem.
5 doctors in Anchorage would take it.
Well, there's a whole lot of seniors that would argue that point with you.
No.
There's 5 that would take it.
There's only 5 out of 1,000.
So We've just, there's a new facility built on the edge of town, a new VA facility. It's beautiful. Is there some way that to meet that immediate need that somehow these agencies could work together? Could seniors be seen at this facility? What's holding up that type of cooperation to help out this immediate crisis?
You know the answer to that.
I don't. I'm asking
you. It's going to take some legislation, which we probably could propose, but the agencies themselves don't work together. They don't understand it. And the VA, by the way, we have to make sure that all our veterans are taken care of. And that's, we built that for the veterans. We built that for veterans that served not only in these wars, but the previous wars. So we have to make sure they get served and are not usurped by a senior citizen. But the big thing is they will not work together, and we'd have to give them a little bit of direction to do so.
Representative Crawford, is there something
expand
you could add?
Expand Anchorage Neighborhood Health. That's what's built for it. It's ready. It's the area that we should go to. You know, it's what it was meant for.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, another program that you know, millions of Americans, hundreds of millions really, eventually will rely on is Social Security. And the system is working well now, but in the future, it will have difficulty. I'd like to ask both of you, do you favor tax increases, benefit reductions, or do you have some other ideas to preserve the Social Security system for the long run? Congressman Young.
We do have to address it. It's the third rail. George Bush tried it, and of course, the Democratic Congress turned it down, and we'll say some of our guys did too. I will tell you, it's not solvent. I am in that age bracket. I do believe that we should raise the age from 65 to 70. That would help out. I think.
Would you raise this all of a sudden or over time?
Let them know over a period of time. And secondly, we ought to be able to give a chance. Never cut off any of the benefits that are been guaranteed. This is like the veterans. When you guarantee a vet going in, you take care of him. You put in the Social Security, you take care of it. That is a commitment. We live by our word. But we also ought to be give the younger people the chance to invest, if they wish to do so, into a Social Security, I call, safety net. And we have not done that. We're afraid to do it. They still pay in, but they have a tax break if they put in a safety net.
All right, thank you. Representative Crawford.
30% of the nation's wealth melted away in 2008. That's no safety net, Congressman Young. You don't want to put that into the stock market. You don't want to risk it. And what I believe that it's a promise made that needs to be kept.
So how do we keep that promise? What steps can be taken to make the?
Well, one of the things that you could allow is for the cap at $106,000 to rise naturally. That is going to make it balance for many years to come.
Because at the moment, people who make over $106,000
don't have to pay
Social Security taxes on the amount above $106,000.
Right.
So you would favor raising that?
Absolutely.
You favor any benefit reductions?
No.
And since I ask you this, Congressman Young?
No.
I think it's a benefit reduction if you raise the age. I try to think of how would I, as an iron worker, go back out on the job right now. And especially if I had to go out on the job till I was 67 or 68 years old, oh my gosh.
Why is the age 65? Because when this program was passed, you died when you were 66. We made money. This was an actual tax on the working person to put money into the general treasury at that time, but sold to us as a so-called Social Security net. That's why we should raise that age up. We do live longer. I'm a classic example of it.
The age is rising already. I know this from personal experience.
But you follow what I'm saying. You have the ability now to take and work better longer. And as long as you tell the new recipients, I'm not talking about those people that planned on at 65. Now we have to change it over a period of time. If you want to solve this problem, don't want to touch the third rail, don't touch it.
I'm going to be working for a long time, huh?
Pardon?
I'm going to be working for a long time.
Oh, you're a young lady yet.
This question, different note, comes to us from a viewer in Fairbanks. She wants to know, what's your solution to illegal immigration? Congressman Young.
It's a tough one. Illegal bothers me, always has. You know, I'm very disturbed about the down in the border states, what's happening down there, the war, the loss of lives, the drugs, the whole gamut down in Arizona especially. I think in the state of Alaska, we have to be well aware of, we have illegal people in the state that are not from Hispanic origin. How to solve the problem, I don't know, other than the fact they'd be deported as they're caught, and find those that employed them.
And I'm going to have to just cut you off there because we're short on time. My apologies. Can I get a quick response from you, Mr. Crawford?
You know, in my job as an iron worker, I've worked in some foreign countries, and one of them was Canada. They didn't have an illegal immigration problem there because you were guaranteed that if you went to work in Canada, you were going to have the paperwork. They were going to make darn sure that you were legal, because there was going to be a big fine to be paid, or somebody was going to go to jail if they got caught hiring illegal aliens. If we went to the employers and fined them or put them in jail, we wouldn't have an illegal immigration problem here in this country.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Our great thanks to Congressman Young and Representative Harry Crawford for participating in this public broadcasting debate for tonight for the U.S. House. And thanks to our attentive audience. Also, thank you to our panelists here, Lori Townsend and Dermot Cole.